Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, January 30th, the Pope's upcoming visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo and to South Sudan is shining the spotlight on the issue of migrants and refugees. The Holy Father calls on the Knights of Malta to continue their mission while always remaining faithful to Christ. And synod leaders have highlighted the role of bishops in the synodal process. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, on the day ahead of his departure for a six-day apostolic visit to the African nations of the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan, Pope Francis received an audience the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi. Both nations are countries where millions of people have been displaced and are on the move, fleeing violence, poverty, and climate change. One important aspect of the papal visit, Mr. Grandi said in an interview with Vatican Radio, is that it will shine the light on situations of suffering that are too often forgotten and neglected. The UN High Commissioner also spoke personally of the Pope's encouragement for his work and how the audience with the Pope gave him a much-needed boost after a heartbreaking mission to war-torn Ukraine.
As always, immensely inspiring. And if you do the job I do, and you have to deal with so many desperate situations, desperate for people and desperate in political terms, because they seem to have no issue most of the time, to spend a few minutes with the Holy Father recharges you and gives you new energy, as he recommended me to have, to face the challenges ahead, which are many all over the world. And, you know, I came to see Pope Francis after spending 6 days in Ukraine. So I did need that moral booster.
How important is his tireless voice on this world scenario to uphold the rights of our brothers and sisters on the move?
I think phenomenally important in so many ways. And beyond the church, I would say, globally. For example, his upcoming trip, which we spoke about, to the Democratic Republic of the Congo and South Sudan. And we discussed the importance of two things in particular. One, to remind the world that there are conflicts that are largely forgotten. And when you have huge crises, high-profile crises like Ukraine, that forgetfulness increases somehow. So it's important that the Pope goes at this time to those areas where people suffer tremendously because of conflict, violence, especially violence against women. And then I think it's important that he reminds the world, one, that the consequences of these conflicts need to be dealt with, meaning humanitarian responses need to be supported. We struggle raising funds for Eastern Congo, one of the most beleaguered regions in the world. And then important that the Pope also encourages peace efforts, because very often they're not sufficiently supported internationally, and therefore they linger for years without much result, as we have seen certainly in Eastern Congo, and to an extent on and off around the South Sudan conflict as well.
And that was Filippo Grandi, the UNHCR High Commissioner for Refugees, speaking there with Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni. Ahead of the historic visit to South Sudan, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, who will be joining Pope Francis along with the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, Ian Greenshield, has urged people to pray for the South Sudanese people who are enduring ongoing conflict and famine. The three church leaders will be visiting South Sudan from February 3rd through the 5th, as part of the Pope's apostolic journey to the Democratic Republic of the Congo and to South Sudan, which begins on Tuesday, January 31st, tomorrow, that is. The unprecedented ecumenical pilgrimage also marks the first ever visit by a pope to South Sudan. Lisa Zingarini has more.
In a statement released on Sunday, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, expressed his profound gratefulness for visiting the people of South Sudan with Pope Francis and Reverend Ian Greenshields, recalling that they have been praying for several years for this visit. The primate of the Anglican Communion pointed out that they are making their ecumenical pilgrimage of peace as servants to amplify the cries of the South Sudanese people who continue to suffer from conflict and famine. He said that during the visit, they hope to review and renew the commitments for peace made by the South Sudanese leaders during the spiritual retreat convened by Pope Francis in the Vatican in 2019. The Anglican English primate further highlighted the unprecedented ecumenical dimension of the visit. After centuries of division, he said, leaders of three different parts of the church are coming together in an unprecedented way, and in so doing, are seeking to be part of answering another prayer, Jesus' prayer, that his followers might be one. It is through Jesus, Archbishop Welby concluded, that we find most profound hopes for justice and peace. I am Lisa Zengarini.
The whole world will be looking to Pope Francis' apostolic visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo and South Sudan. But Africa in particular will be watching closely and listening to what the Pope has to say. Many Africans will be traveling to the two nations for at least some of the papal events. Among them, Catholics from southern Africa, many of whom feel particularly close to the people of South Sudan. As Bishop Luis Ponce de Leon of Mancini in Eswatini told Vatican Radio.
For us, it was a moment of great joy. And because of the history of South Africa, with the transition, the peaceful transition, a number of countries were wondering, how did it happen in South Africa? And so they were looking for a point of reference to deal with their own crisis. But South Sudan initially gave us so much hope, and then everything turned to be so ugly. And the Pope had to postpone this journey. So for us, it's a great joy that he is able now to go. I know people who were in South Sudan for many, many years. They were telling me how joyful they are to see Francis being able to go. But clearly, all these situations, we need to help each other, trying to learn from each other. And of course, then we find our local solutions.
And that was Bishop Luis Ponce de Leon of Mancini in Eswatini.
For us, it was a moment of great joy.
Also on Monday, Pope Francis addressed the Sovereign Order of Malta at the conclusion of their general chapter. In his address, the Holy Father encouraged each of the members to go forth in their mission after the election of the new high offices of the order, while always remaining faithful to Christ. Francesca Merlo has this report.
Addressing members of the Order of Malta at the conclusion of their general chapter, Pope Francis greeted the new high officers and members of the council who had been elected at the meeting. The Pope expressed his pleasure in hearing that those who had been appointed to the provisional government had then found the confidence of the great majority of the chapter members. With these, the Pope continued, you may now be ever more united to bear witness to your faith and your belonging to the order. Amongst the changes made to the order, the Pope expressed his appreciation for the decision to reopen a novitiate and added his hope that more can be added soon. Pope Francis then went on to speak briefly of the terms that qualify the order. Beginning with the term sovereign, Pope Francis notes that this is a very singular sovereignty, assumed over the centuries and confirmed by the will of the popes. It allows you to make generous and demanding gestures of solidarity, making yourselves close to those most in need under international diplomatic legal protection. Pope Francis then went on to speak of the word military. For the defence of pilgrims and holy places, as well as Christianity, your order has written glorious pages. Today those deeds give way to interreligious dialogue. Moreover, faith in Christ and the following of him commit you to the witness of the gospel and the fight against everything that opposes it, he explained. Finally, the Pope spoke of the worm Hospitaller. The order originates from the service that Blessed Gerard offered to pilgrims in Jerusalem, in the hospital named after St. John the Baptist, who later became your patron, said the Pope. By caring for the sick, you know how to recognize in each of them the suffering face of Christ, whatever their origin, nationality, or religious belief, explained the Pope. Bringing his address to a close, Pope Francis noted that the members present have written a very important page of history for the Order of Malta, and that for this you can be proud. Finally, Pope Francis exhorted all those present to remain faithful to Christ and to go forward carrying throughout the world his message of healing for the sick and consolation for the afflicted. I am Francesca Merlo.
Finally, on the eve of the celebration of the Continental Assemblies of the ongoing synodal process, Cardinals Mario Grech and Jean-Claude Hollerich, respectively the Secretary General and Relator General of the Synod, have penned a letter to all the diocesan bishops of the whole world addressing the topic of the bishop's role in the ongoing synodal process. The cardinals highlight the responsibility of bishops with respect to the synodal process, emphasizing that there is no exercise of ecclesial synodality without the exercise of episcopal collegiality. Speaking with Vatican Radio on Monday, Cardinal Grech explained the reasons for the letter.
Well, considering that in the coming weeks, a new stage, a new phase in the synodal process is going to start, I am referring to the Continental Assemblies, Cardinal Hollerich and me thought that we would offer a further service to the local churches, to the continental churches, reminding them about fundamental truths that we have been addressing from the very beginning of this process. In fact, what we state in this letter, in substance, is already present in the preparatory document that our secretariat published at the very start of this synodal process. As they say, repetita juvent, no? So if we repeat what we have already said, and after all, not us, but what the Council, Vatican II, has taught us, I mean, it will help to foster a fruitful dialogue, discernment at this stage, where the people of God, together with their bishops, are invited to help us as a secretariat with their reflections, because every continental assembly is going to produce a document, and then from those seven documents, we will elaborate the instrumentum laboris for the bishops' synod next October, which, as we try to underline in our letter, the central theme of this synod is synodality. Once the church becomes more synodal, then it will be in a better position to address important issues raised by the people of God, also underlined in the working document for the Continental Assemblies.
And that was Cardinal Mario Grech, the General Secretary of the Synod. And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also get all the latest updates on our Vatican News Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram account. Many thanks this afternoon, as always, to our sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.